episode 16 of the Canes Cast with Michael Smith, who is the web reporter, web everything. We call him Webby or Dottie here on Canes Cast and Hurricanes.com.
Either one, and your TV's Mike Maniscalco. Does anybody call you that yet?
No, or is just it you. Just me? My wife called me that once.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but and then in Arizona.
It's catching on.
In Arizona, I had a guy go, "Are you Mike Maniscalco from TV?" And I had to say, "No, I'm TV's Mike Maniscalco."
Well, it's good to see you again. I feel like I've seen you every day for like the last 2 months.
You pretty much have, yeah. Michael, and it's not going to go anywhere the way that the schedule sets up. And Michael, today on the podcast, something very exciting for the subscribers to the Canes Cast that they can win free stuff from us. Tell them how.
Yeah, so if you're a subscriber on iTunes or Google Play, take a screenshot, you know, whatever. Send it along to us at NHL Canes on Twitter. Or, you know, if you're on Facebook, send it to us on Facebook with the hashtag CanesCast, just to show us that you're a loyal listener, if I could talk, a loyal subscriber. And we'll pick one lucky winner, and they'll win two tickets to an upcoming Hurricanes game. I mean, it really couldn't be easier.
No, so that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Take a picture of the episode that you're listening to of Canes Cast, and you will then get a chance to win tickets to an upcoming Hurricanes game. Thanks to the Canes Cast, and thanks to the folks that we work with.
And if you're on iTunes, be sure to subscribe. Obviously, subscribe, take a picture, tweet, Canes Cast, etc. Win tickets. But also be sure to rate us and leave a review, because that helps us, and we like that.
Yeah, and we'll
and
honestly,
we like you.
Yeah, we'll take any review. I mean,
yeah.
5 stars are great, but if you think we can be better, 4 stars are fine.
Sure.
3 stars, we can still be friends.
Yeah.
Two stars.
That's when we begin to have a problem.
We have to have some questions.
Right.
And 1 star, well, you know.
Yeah.
You're just being rude at that point.
We're not talking to you anymore.
Well, I will, but it would be a stern talking to
you. So, yeah, take a screenshot if you're a subscriber. Send it to us, hashtag CanesCast, and you could be entered to win 2 tickets to an upcoming Hurricanes game.
All right. This is a big, big episode, episode 16 of the CanesCast with the Web's Michael Smith.
And the TV's Mike Maniscalco.
All right, let's get something out of the way. Not exactly what the Hurricanes wanted in their two-game road trip, to Colorado and Arizona. By the way, both named after states, not cities. We'll get into that in another time. But as far as we can look at, they wanted to tighten up their game from Colorado, which they did in Arizona, but the scoring wasn't there. Antti Raanta played very well. What do you take away from those two games and where the team stands right now, 12 games in, if you're listening to the Canes Cast before they play the Florida Panthers on Tuesday?
Yeah, definitely a tough road trip, because you sort of looked at the segment, Colorado, Arizona, and then, of course, Florida on Tuesday as a kind of a crucial segment in the schedule for the Hurricanes, who, you know, left October hovering, or, well, I guess right at Hockey 500. And, you know, this segment against these three teams was seen as a way to perhaps make up some ground, give yourself some points in the standings and get back over Hockey 500. But obviously, you know, it didn't go the way the Hurricanes had hoped on the road. In Colorado, I thought what was a terrific start.
Yes.
Scoring 55 seconds in, they dominated the first, I'd say, 5-6 minutes of the game. Then it goes back and forth a little bit for the rest of the period, and then Colorado took over in the second period, and it was tough for the Hurricanes to really work their way back in it from there. And then in Arizona, some chances. The Hurricanes had chances. Jeff Skinner's penalty shot early in the second period. Some power plays. They didn't find the back of the net until you know, just about 2 minutes left in the game. So the offense is still looking for consistency. I think the Hurricanes as a whole are still looking for consistency. And there's still plenty of work to be done, but it starts today, you know, at practice, getting back on the ice, getting back to good habits, and then it starts again on the ice tomorrow. I mean, Justin Falk said it after the Colorado game, is the beauty in this league is that, you know, you get to sort of have a short memory. Things happen quick. You're playing every other day. You get a chance to wipe the slate clean and move on, and the Hurricanes definitely need to find their way back into the win column and start racking up points here.
All right. Well, without trying to make things bigger than what they should be, this stretch of games right now I think becomes really big for the Canes. Let's put these first two games of November behind us. When you look at what's left, there's 7 games that are at home here in the month of November. How much does this team have to find a winning recipe in this building now? Because they've played well here, but some of those little things you talked about, those little inconsistencies in the offense or the defensive lapses, have seemed to come up at the inappropriate times here at the PNC Arena. They've played some good games. St. Louis was a good game, and that just goes back and forth. Anaheim, after a rough start, they take control of that game, and then Ryan Miller stands on his head and steals the extra point for Anaheim. So they've played good games. They just haven't been able to unlock the door of getting 2 points consistently in this building. So with Florida, Chicago, Dallas, the Islanders, the Rangers, Toronto, and Nashville, you know, those aren't easy teams to play against. How can they unlock that door and get some points?
They're going to have to find consistency. They're going to have to find consistent scoring up and down the lineup. They're going to need guys other than Jeff Skinner, you know, to start scoring goals. They're going to need Sebastian Aho to find the back of the net sooner rather than later. Though, at the same time, he has been a big part of the Hurricanes offense, and that pass he made to Jordan Staal in Arizona for the goal late in regulation was absurd. I mean, it was really nice. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to need to find consistency, and they're going to need to rack up points, especially against, once they get into this schedule, against Eastern Conference opponents, divisional opponents. They've only played one divisional game so far, and it's, November 6th.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of points to be had left on the table against teams that they're directly vying for playoff spot-wise.
Yeah, and their next divisional game is against that same said team, the Columbus Blue Jackets, who they played in the second game of the season all the way back in the early stages of October. But, yeah, once you get past Chicago and Dallas, the next two home games after Florida, you've got the Islanders, Buffalo. At least that's a team you got to beat in the Eastern Conference. Then you've got the Islanders and Rangers. So then three games against teams that you have to beat in the Metro Division, because I think the Rangers are down, and I don't know what the Islanders are. I mean, their record says that they're good, but I'm not 100% sold on them, which we'll come up with a few things that we're going to play here on Canes Cast. We've got a new game and a new segment. We hope you'll enjoy it, and we're going to call Like It, Take It. If not,
send it right back.
That's it. So we'll get to that.
Inspired by a certain movie.
Yeah. We also have Bill Burniston, the strength and conditioning coach for the Carolina Hurricanes, the head strength and conditioning coach for the Canes, joining us in just a little bit here on the Canes Cast, and I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy that. But we look at the Canes. Let's take an exhale and relax. Thank you, Michael. And just find out early on, what are some of the things that we are at the eighth post here? An eighth of the season's gone, give or take a game. When you're listening to this, what are some of the things you've liked about the Carolina Hurricanes?
I like that Jeff Skinner is, you know, consistently proving to be the dangerous offensive threat that we all know he can be. I think he's well on his way to another 30-goal season. I think the goaltending on the whole has been rather impressive.
Yeah.
Both the tandem of Scott Darling and Cam Ward, I think, has been good. I think the defense, you know, for the most part, now with one half of what is probably the NHL's best pair, you know, out with a concussion, that's sort of taken a hit. But I think the defense has been on the whole pretty good, just as we expect, a very talented young D-core. And I think, you know, there are some good pieces there. There are some good pieces. And if the Hurricanes can find a way to put all those pieces together, I think they have a puzzle that can be successful, but it's about finding the way those pieces fit together, both on and off the ice, in order to be successful.
Yeah, it seemed lately that the picture of the puzzle is there, but like one of the pieces has gone under the couch.
Yeah.
And by the time you find it, the game's over.
Right.
So that has been a bit of a problem. I have liked the duo of Marcus Krueger and Joakim Nordstrom on whatever Bill Peters will not call it the fourth line, but on the Krueger line.
Right.
And I've liked Josh Joris and Brock McGinn there. That energy line has been doing exactly what they have been meant to do for this team. I've liked that. I've liked how Hayden Fleury has quietly progressed his game, where he's more and more comfortable with every passing shift that he takes for the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm with you on the goaltending. I think that the goaltending has been, while the numbers don't say it,
right,
the goaltending has been, I think, better than what we have seen in the past few seasons as a whole that's out there. Penalty kill is always good. Few things that need to be worked on. One of them is the power play. It's got to find a way. In this league, you got to find a way to chip in some goals. that's something that you can look at. And I don't know if it's maybe time to shuffle the deck with players or
what have you
in this.
And we mentioned that, you know, on the last podcast, I think we mentioned it.
We did.
Maybe, you know, swap some things up personnel-wise.
But we mentioned the fact that the last time we did this, Michael, it was, you know, the 15th ranked power play in the league by percentage.
Middle of the road.
But now you're getting to the point where, what, if you're one of nine or 10, now you got to try to find a way to get
and
better.
And that's one of 17 in the last seven games. And that's not where you'd like it to be, especially in games. You know, we go back to the St. Louis game where the Hurricanes had the one power play opportunity. They don't convert on that. St. Louis scores the game-winning goal on the next shift. These things are magnified when you're not getting those multiple opportunities. You know, in Arizona, the Hurricanes had three power plays. I think one of them was early in the third period, where in a 1-0 game, if you can convert there, it's a tie game. You have the whole rest of the period to try to find the game-winning goal. Instead, the Hurricanes have to push and push and push and do finally break through. And you know, Jordan Staal able to score, able to salvage a point for the team. But yeah, the power play needs to be more reliable, especially when you're getting such limited opportunities in what are close games. And the Hurricanes are playing a lot of those close games.
Yeah, and that's the way that the model of the league is set up. But one of the things that the Canes have not looked, they've not looked tired, they've not looked out of shape, and a big reason why is for our money, they have a really good, for what I've talked to a lot of guys out there, one of the best strength and conditioning coaches in the National Hockey League.
And he is Bill Berniston, and he's joining us right now.
He is the strength and conditioning coach for the Carolina Hurricanes. Not only that, all-around good guy. And if you want to train the way that pro athletes do, Bill Berniston has the spot for you. Bill, first off, thanks for joining us. Second, let us know where the common man can train like the Carolina Hurricanes athletes can. You got a new spot opening up somewhere?
Yeah, actually, Mike, thanks. First of all, thanks to you and Mike for having me on. This is exciting for sure. Yeah, actually, we have a training facility in Apex called the Performance Academy. Myself and a couple of partners, a couple that are familiar to the Hurricanes, Dr. Josh Bloom, who's our team physician, as well as former player Tim Gleason, you know, and along with a couple other partners that we have. But I know that those are certainly familiar names to the Canes Nation.
Yeah.
But we just actually November 1st we just took over a space along with actually it's inside Raleigh Orthopedics up in North Raleigh, so we're really excited about being able to bring our training to not only the people in the southern end of Wake County but also up in North Raleigh, so we're excited about that.
Is there a website someone can visit right now?
Sure, www.tpanc.com.
See, look at that professional. He knows to throw in the three W's in front in
and
the internet.
There's an http://.
Thanks, web guy.
Wow, we got the plug in right off the bat. Now there's no motivation for you to be good at all on this podcast.
Not true, Mike. Not true.
This guy gives it 100% every day, which that's what you expect out of your athletes. So, Bill, let's just start off with here we are 13 games in the season, 14, depending on when people listen to the Canes cast, which is hopefully for us all the time. But how do you, as far as keeping the athletes at their peak, how do you gauge that between game day, off day, couple off days? What's the toughest part of your job now that we're in the season, making sure that the guys are rested, but at the same time, they're still putting in their work?
Yeah, you know, Mike, the most important thing for our guys is to realize that you still have to put in the work. Right. Once games start, you know, that's obviously, you know, our number one priority is to win games. But we need to make sure that we follow and we monitor our players' workloads. So it all depends on time on the ice. It all depends on, you know, where they are in a week long. You know, obviously sometimes we have more games than normal in a week. Sometimes we have back to back. So it all depends on where we are in a workload. And then we measure that.
Do you map out, like, a week at a time? Like, how far in advance is your schedule for what we're going to do with the guys?
Yeah, we match it. I actually have the whole month mapped out and then some. And then you look at what a week's workload would be, assuming that, you know, we have a morning skate, assuming that we have practice, assuming that we have two games or three games in a week. So based on those numbers, we take what the average day workload would be, and then we try to you know, match that up to the things that we're doing off the ice.
What are your general philosophies as a strength coach? And
what all goes into those philosophies? How has your background sort of built the way you approach strength and conditioning?
Yeah, you know, Mike, that's a great question. You know, as we go through our careers, we take bits and pieces from everybody, right? And then you come up with your own hybrid approach. For me, you know, my philosophy, you know, first and foremost, I feel like you got to take it one day at a time. I know that sounds like a cliche, but it's true, right? You try to go 1-0 and win the day every day, right? So what can you do today that's going to make you better? And sometimes that's rest. You know, sometimes, you know, you have to put in a little bit of extra work. So, you know, in season, my philosophy is all about injury prevention, 100% injury prevention. And that is partly making sure that our guys are mobile, making sure they're flexible, making sure that they can turn on the right muscles. And that includes strength training. You know, for us, we like to, you know, get a heavy lift in, you know, during the week, depending on what our schedule is when we schedule that heavy lift. It could be post game. It could be, you know, if we have 3 days off, it could be, you know, 3 days out. So it all depends on it. But from my philosophy, I would say the in-season philosophy, let's injury prevention is number one. Let's make sure that we can keep athletes on the ice.
He's Bill Bernestein, the head strength and conditioning coach for the Carolina Hurricanes, joining Michael Smith and myself here on the Canescast. Bill, not that you're old, but you've been at this for a long time. What, I mean, over 20 years of experience with this right now, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I would say, you know, probably closer to 30 if you count some of my undergraduate work that
we'll
I
do
did,
that. So, we'll do that. You know, if that's more impressive, if you want to be younger, we'll say closer to 20, however
well,
you want to go there.
Honestly, working with these guys, I feel like I'm young every day, Mike. It's not, you know, it's just a number.
But let me ask you, how has strength and conditioning changed from when you were coming up? Because Billy and I are close to the same age. You never lifted during season. You heard guys stayed away from weights, or it was more rest if you did some things. How has that changed? And I got a follow-up after you answer that question, but how the philosophy of, you know, how do you make yourself better? How do you win the day? It used to be, well, you're not going to lift weights in season. We'll do that in the off-season. How has that changed since you started?
Well, you know, Mike, a lot of times we talk about just maintaining in season, right? Well, you're not going to maintain if you don't have any type, if you don't overload the system from a strength standpoint. You know, my philosophy on this is that I think we can continue to make gains in the season if we do it right, and make sure that we're measuring workloads. So we don't just try to maintain, we try to get better. We want to peak at the end of the season. We're not looking to, you know, peak from a strength standpoint early in the year. We want to make sure that we, you know, it's a long haul. 82 games, a lot of games.
Well, the other part of it too, the players are so different now. They have, in the off season, their own personal trainers. They have their regimen. How do you blend? Do you say, hey, let me know what you're doing with your guys in the off season or away from the rink, and, you know, see how we can make it compatible? Or when it's, is that the doable way, or there is no doable way? It's only one way to do this once you get here.
No, there's it all boils down to communication, Mike, without question, right? You have to treat players as individuals, and you can't treat everybody exactly the same. You know, there's younger guys, there's older guys, there's guys that have certain injuries or had certain injuries. So we can't, you know, put a cookie cutter approach together. It doesn't work. So I do communicate with their strength coaches back home, both in season and in the summertime as well. I like to say that I have an open door policy. I want to have those conversations. I want to communicate. I want to have buy-in from everybody. So We can't just say, hey, it's our way, or, you know, for lack of a better way, our way or the highway, right? It doesn't work that way. And I would hope that that's not my approach. There are certain things that, yes, I do dig my heels in and say, hey, these are absolutes. We're going to do this. And then there's certain things that, you know, we need to make changes and adaptations to our athletes.
Can you shed some light for the listeners on just how you approach post-game workouts? Because I think me and Mike have a general idea of being around it, being in the room post-game. But just, you know, from the listener's perspective, how you approach basically assigning groups of players post-game workouts.
Yeah. And, again, it all goes towards the week's workload. So we use something called acute and chronic workloads, and we look at a ratio. So for me, it all depends on where their ratio is for that particular day. And then we make adjustments. But for the most part, it's all based on how much work they've done in the game, how much, you know, a fourth liner is going to be doing a little bit more work in the weight room based on how much time they played. So that's really what we look at. And then obviously we look at other things, you know, the like I said, the workload for the week, you know, if, are there any nagging injuries, anything along those lines that we need to make modifications on. But for the most part, you know, I have three groups, and it's all based on how much time that you've played.
All right, Michael, let's be honest, though, with the listeners here at the Canescast and with Bill, who has been very nice with that answer. He knows we have no idea about post-game workouts. He sees how we're built. We haven't seen a post-game workout in decades.
Right. I think our post-game workout the other night in Arizona was just finding a restaurant.
Yeah, that's a walk. There's some cardio in there. Does that count, Bill, for us?
You know, for you guys, yeah.
That's what we're looking for. By the way, if we had to, how many years would it take for you to get me back into shape? Notice I said years, not months.
No, I think, Mike, anybody that, you know, if you look at proper nutrition, you look at, you know, work ethic. And, you know, I often say, you know, one of my favorite, you know, terms or sayings is I always say, you know, sitting around wishing, hoping, wanting to become great won't make you great any more than sitting in a chicken coop will turn you into a chicken.
You
know?
You mentioned nutrition. How closely do you work with Doug Bennett, the head athletic trainer, and Brian Maddox, the assistant athletic trainer, and of course, to Tristan Simmons coming on board as the massage therapist? How do you guys work together in order to get these guys into their peak shape?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think we have an incredible staff, and we have you know, great communication. We make sure that the right hand's talking to the left hand, and you know, we're a team inside of a team. We make sure that we meet every morning. We talk about you know, certain athletes, but from the global perspective, we do try to map out, you know, nutrition for our players, you know, on the road, what are pregame meals, what time are those meals going to be, also, you know, our meals here postgame, you know, all those types of things we take into consideration. You know, one of the things that we do is make sure that, you know, when guys come off the ice, there's a, you know, post practice or post game shake, you know, in their stall. So we try to make it very easy for them, and making sure that we're getting calories and helping with the recovery. You know, there's three ways our guys are going to recover. You know, one is nutrition, two is sleep, and three is going to be soft tissue work. So there's other ways, but those are three things that we all work together on making sure that we can, you know, provide.
Bill, you brought up something a little bit earlier, and Bill Berniston, the head strength and conditioning coach for the Carolina Hurricanes with Michael Smith and me here on the Canescast. It's your job, really, once in season comes in, is, you know, basically injury prevention. I'm going to make sure that these guys don't. But, I mean, how can you forecast that? Can you tell if there's a guy who, you know, maybe, you know, I'm a little worried about him right now because he's not working out the way. Can you kind of, I hate to say this, predict that we got to back off on a guy because I'm not sure if the workload, it's either too much or it's not enough for a guy in season? How can you predict that?
Well, again, we use, you know, our daily loads and we look at them. And there is some prediction models out there for us if athletes are underloaded or overloaded, right? So from an injury standpoint, you can be at a higher level of injury or risk for injury if you're underloaded, right? Same thing as everybody always thinks it's overloaded. So we need to make sure that we measure and we look at it every day. We have a printout every day that we go through and our medical staff looks at it and we all come up with a plan for the day. Hey, this guy, we're going to make sure that, you know, we do X, Y, and Z, you know, post-practice or pre-practice, along with what's going to happen on the ice itself.
Billy, we had we were in Saskatoon, what, a month and a half ago or so? We had a team function, and you got up and said some words, and I felt like you captivated the room. Is that something you've kind of honed along the way, or is it something that just comes natural for you?
Yeah, I think that might be one of my strong points. You know, believe it or not, many people don't know, you know, your past that you take, you know, in the positions that you have in your careers. And believe it or not, I taught physical education for about 15 years in the public school system. And I got news for you. If you need to try to, you know, get the attention of a kindergarten class, you better have a pretty strong voice and you better be able to, you know, grab their attention quick. So that's been one of my strong points, along with, you know, I've coached for so many years and large groups, and it's been kind of, I'd say it's a gift. I've had some great mentors, and I think, probably one of my best mentors was a gentleman by the name of Drew Gibbs. He's a high school football coach up in New Jersey, and I remember him asking me one day, he's like, when you speak to a group, you point out a lot of negative things. And I said, really? I didn't notice that. He said, be conscious of it and start pointing out the positives. He said, particularly when you're working with kids, Johnny wants to be just like Jimmy. So if you pump up Jimmy, Johnny's going to do the right thing because he wants to get pumped up too. And I have to tell you that, that advice came over 20 years ago, and I think that's kind of, helped me. Probably the greatest advice I've ever had.
All right, let's pull back the curtain a little bit more, though, on strength and conditioning coaches. Why are they the most intense guy in the room? I mean, everywhere you go, every time we see a football sideline, a basketball, then we're around the NHL guys. Why are the strength and conditioning coaches the most intense guys in the room?
Energy givers. It's...
You can't fake that. You have to have it.
It's a passion. It's something that you have to have. You got to be an energy giver. That's my job. Bill Peters has come to me, numerous times and said, hey, you got to bring the juice today. Let's make sure our room, has the energy. So, it could be from, choosing our warm-up music, which I'll be truthful with you, I struggle. I'm an 80s guy, and, if AC/DC can't get you pumped up, you better shake yourself, And that's, as our crowd gets a little younger, it's a little bit different music taste, but I still think that, TNT can fire anybody.
I was going to ask if there's the go-to in the Bill Bernstein library of songs. I think we might have found that out. So the boys from Australia are happy to hear that AC/DC is still being, and by the way, yes, it's being pumped in every locker room. I don't care who you are, if that doesn't get you ready to go, a few other bands that are out there. But it does lead me to one more question for you, Bill. And
sure.
We really appreciate your time today. Technology, where it used to be everybody writes everything down on a piece of paper and you looked, and it's now everybody can have it on their iPhone. How much they've walked, how much water they've drank or consumed, how many calories they're consuming in a day. Has that made your job easier, or does it make it tougher? Because now there's just so much information that's out there to be able to stay fit, stay in shape, that you have to keep track of.
Well, I think it depends on, what metrics you're looking at. You can certainly get overloaded. So it's choosing the right metrics and making sure that, you're taking a look at the things that are important to you.
Yeah.
And your organization. So I think we've done a pretty good job of that. There is a lot of wearable technology out there. Those are things that we look at and consider using. For us, I don't think there's anything better than, I'm an old school guy, and, one, the eye test, and two, a real live conversation, like, hey, man, how you doing? What can I help you with? How are you feeling today? I don't think anything takes the place of that. I do send out journals in the morning.
Yeah.
That do help me initiate those conversations, right? So I'm not going into them blind. I'm not going to talk to, all 24 guys in our room, but I'm certainly, going through it and being able to choose to see which guys I need to talk to.
How important is the relationship of trust between the athlete and your position, the strength and conditioning coach?
It's huge. If you can't get guys to buy into what you're doing, you lose the room. It's certainly, it's difficult. Bill Peters makes it very easy on me. Bill doesn't come down and ask me about individual guys, unless he has to. But it's more, how are we as a team? What are we looking like as a team? So he makes that very easy, right? Because I think Bill realizes, that relationship as a strength and conditioning coach, you're on the fence, right?
Yeah.
You have to be on both sides, and it's very difficult. You have to be, loyal to the coaching staff, but at the same time, you have to have the trust of the players, because if you don't have the trust of the players, at the end of the day, you're not getting – usable information. You're not going to get reliable information. You're not going to get valid information. So it's important that you have that relationship.
All right, one last thing for you, Bill, and thanks again for taking the time. But how much do athletes, like we hear, they're so different today, and they just want to be told they're this and they're that. But how much do athletes really want to be told, like, you push guys, we've seen you do it, where, the healthy scratches during the game, for people who don't know, they're working out during the game, and Bill is the guy pushing them, riding the bike, lifting weights, doing all that. How much do they want to hear from you that, like, truth, like where you're like, don't lie to me. I know what you're telling me. And you can actually give an athlete, a pro athlete, a lot because they actually want it. They want that coaching or that critique.
Well, you know, you mentioned, you know, our healthy extras. You know, those guys, it's my job to make sure that those guys are ready when the bell rings that they can perform. And I always tell them, hey, fellas, let's make sure that, you know, fitness is not, we can't use it as an excuse, right? We're going to be in the best shape of our lives. We're going to work hard. We're going to make sure our workloads are where they need to be. So when the bell rings, we're ready to go. So those guys do like to be pushed. Those guys, you know, they get it.
All right, Bill, one last thing. If people want to get in shape, where can they go and train like the pros?
Yeah, Performance Academy. We have a facility in Apex, North Carolina, obviously, and we have one up in North Raleigh as well.
All right, Performance Academy. And, Mike, did you remember the website? Because I'll let you ask that question then.
I'm sure I could rewind the podcast and hear it again. But just for those who don't want to do that, what's the website?
TPANC.com.
There it is. Both locations, a short walk from Holly Springs.
TPANC.com, a 5-minute walk from Holly Springs. Bill walks everywhere. That's the one thing.
Yeah, Holly Springs is a great place.
Bill Berniston, thank you for taking time.
Thanks
for
having me, fellas. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Bill Berniston. Wow. He is an energy guy.
He is an energetic guy. And I tell you, you know, I mentioned being up in Saskatoon at the team function. When he got up and said what he had to say, I was ready to go. Like, I was ready to run through the restaurant wall and, you know, tackle somebody. And we're not even playing football.
Oh, that's, well, you don't want to tackle somebody. That's a penalty.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in this league. Maybe. I don't know. All right.
But if I slash him, it definitely will be a penalty.
Michael, we're going to try this. We're going to see if
new
people
segment.
Are going to like it. It's a new segment here on the Canes Cast. Here's what's going to happen.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
So it's like buy or sell, but better because Anchorman.
All right. So I will start off for the Carolina Hurricanes in the month of November. Now that two games are gone, let's just take a look and focus in on the 11 games that remain. The Carolina Hurricanes in the 11 games that remain, that means 22 points are out there. Okay. They need to get a minimum of 16 points. You going to take that or you going to send it right back?
I'm going to take it because I think that's the challenge that lays ahead for this team. I think it's a challenge that the team can accept and overcome. But there's work to do. They're good teams that the Hurricanes are going to face. If they can find a way to become a consistent team, both at home and on the road, but especially at home, where they've led, I believe, twice, and not for very long in those games either. That's going to be extremely important because you have to be a good team at home in the NHL. On the road, it's always a question mark because matchups are off and, you know, atmospheres are different. It's a whole thing. But if you can be, you have to be good at home to be to be successful and make the playoffs. So I'm going to take that because I think that's something that the team definitely needs to accomplish
this month. 16 is a big number with that. But you also take into account how close games are going to be played in this league. And 14 points are on the table at the PNC Arena. All right. You got something for me?
Sure. If you like it, take it. If not,
send it right back.
The Cherry Cricket in Denver.
Oh, I will take it, and I will stay there, and I'll actually go back the next day if they told me I have to leave when they close.
Yeah.
Their burgers are spectacular.
Yeah, it was really good. Good eating. We went there twice.
I would not steer you wrong on that stuff.
Yeah, I know. And last year when we were in Denver, there was a kitchen fire, so it was closed.
Yeah, it was not open. That was sadness for everybody who's out there.
Okay, we'll give you a hockey-related. We'll give you a hockey-related one. That one was a bit of a curveball.
You didn't even need to send it. I would run to it.
Take it or leave it. The Hurricanes have 17 back-to-backs remaining.
Yes. I'll leave it. Can I send that right back? Can we lower that number?
Is it kind of weird that the schedule has been so spread out early on? It seems like it condenses quite a bit here in the near future. December, February is insane with the amount of home games that are played. March, it always gets tighter. That's a lot of back-to-backs, though.
Yeah, I'd like to send that back to you.
Yeah.
Because I just – from a point of, I don't mind back-to-back games, and I don't think the players mind it that much either, because they would rather play than practice. They'll tell you that. Where I mind it is where these back-to-backs are occurring. Like, you go to Columbus and then got to come back and play Chicago the next night. At the end of that massive road trip in December, you play Buffalo on Friday night in Buffalo. So it's 13 days on the road the team will be at that point, if I do the math right. And it is 13 days on the road. And then you got to come back and play Columbus in this building the next night. And I just think that that's one of those things where those are the back-to-backs where I'm just kind of scratching my head at. Like, why is it working out this way at the end of long trips, or like this one-off goof that you're putting it together?
That one's especially tough because and hopefully the Hurricanes, you know, by that point, their bodies will be reacclimated to the East Coast after spending a couple nights in Buffalo. But that's tough. I mean, we're going to have ginormous suitcases that we're lugging around for 2 weeks, and then the team comes back here and tries to muster up the energy to face a very important divisional opponent that night in Columbus.
Yeah.
I thought of another one. Opinions of the actual play aside, the other night in Colorado, a delay of game penalty for a failed coach's challenge of offsides, not of anything else, goaltender interference, just of offsides.
All right. If I want this, I can keep it. If not, send it back.
Correct.
I'm going to keep it.
Ooh.
I am going to keep it because I think it was getting to a point of ridiculousness last year of, we're going to challenge it, and then it sits there and it waits and it slows down the game. And it does slow down the game. I just wish, if I can I modify this a little bit more?
Sure, yeah.
Can I have the NHL change the rule and just make this simple? If both skates are across the blue line, and on the ice across the blue line, before the puck is over the blue line, I'm going to say this as sarcastically as I can, that should be offsides. But one skate over and then a skate a millimeter off the ice, that don't let that be offsides. Let that be an onside play, because you want more offense in this league. So just make it crystal clear. Both skates over the blue line before the puck gets there, offsides.
And I think that was the question mark in Colorado, was the one skate was definitely over the blue line.
Yes.
And then the question mark was his second foot off the ground.
Yes. It's always been straddle it. Well, here's my point to this. And look, I wish it would have worked out for the Canes. That turned out to be a big turning point as they lose to the Avs on that. And, you know, they're down 4-2. They challenge. They lose the challenge. It goes to a power play for the Avs. They score, bang, 5-3. And now you're sitting there going, why would you challenge it? Well, you thought that you saw it off the ice. You're counting on the guys. There's apparently an angle that's there, not getting too into the weeds for this. You know, we're moving on, and Florida's next. There's now a game in between that by the time you're listening, maybe two by the time you listen to the Canes cast. But for me, why would it be, if your skate is behind the blue line and touching the ice, that's onside. But if it lifts up and your skate is still behind the blue line, how's that offside? It's not different to me.
It's magic.
Oh, whatever.
I'm sending it back.
Would you take my rule change or no?
Sure.
Both skates have to be across the blue line to be offside.
But I'm sending it back because I don't like the approach of one challenge is, you know, a missed challenge in one situation, you lose a timeout, but in a different situation, you get penalized. I don't like that. I don't think it makes much sense. I get what the NHL is trying to do. They are trying to minimize the amount of offside challenges. But if that's the concern, maybe just get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a challenge that was instituted because, you know, one egregious play a few years ago happened. Yeah. And, you know, and that was the difference in being a goal and yeah, what should have not been a goal.
I've just tried to clear up what the rules should be and make it easier for everybody who's involved. If you see both skates across the blue line on the ice, well, that's offsides. If not, it's onsides. We want more offense anyway, right?
There we go.
That'll create more offense. Yay, offense.
Maybe we'll send this to the league.
No, they won't listen to this. They don't. There's some logic into that answer. All right. I'm going to send this over to you.
And if I like it, I'll take it.
And if not, you send it right back. In-N-Out Burger. Do you get the burger animal style?
I've never tried it.
Oh, you're missing out.
The double double just straight up is
wonderful.
Yeah. So I haven't seen reason to change it just yet. Your opinions?
I don't think you can go wrong either way.
With either, yeah. I think you do have to do animal style on the fries.
Oh,
I think that's
no
the
doubt.
Only way to eat the
Although
fries.
Although the fries are, no, their fries are good without it.
Yeah, that's
with a little
true.
Ketchup, that's fine.
But the smart play is animal style.
Here's what I'm going to do. You can send it right back to me if you don't want it
sure.
animal style, because I'll eat it. So that's it.
There
I think
you go.
I proved that on our trip to Arizona.
And we're taking it all the way on all In-N-Outs.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't, what a burger, no.
No, In-N-Out.
Anything else, no.
It's In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
And we'll get into
and
our
there's
burger,
a whole discussion.
We'll get into our burger classifications later. Don't at us on
there's a whole tier.
You know, this is better, that's better. Just when it comes to on the road, Michael and I have created the caste system, a tier,
right.
if you will, and In-N-Out is the top of the tier that we have it at.
Yeah.
There are other great
tiers.
Burgers in the world, like the Duffy's Cherry Cricket.
Right.
I would not put in the same
Different
category
tier. Exactly.
As In-N-Out.
Yeah.
So there we have that. I do have a hockey question for you.
Okay.
And this could be the last question I have for you where I'm going to send it over to you.
Okay. And if I like it, I'll take it.
Will we see Sebastian Aho play center this year for the Carolina Hurricanes? And there's the tag on it because he's becoming that playmaker that we've seen, that pass you've already highlighted here to Jordan Staal, maybe a sooner rather than later to see number 20 in the middle.
Yeah, I'm going to take it because I think that's definitely an option. That's something the Hurricanes probably want to explore at some point. We've seen it, sort of off and on with Elias Lindholm the past few years. In a few weeks, if the Hurricanes are still looking to spark their offense, and hopefully by that point Sebastian Aho has scored a goal or six, and maybe they try him in the middle. I think it's something you're gonna have to do eventually, right? If you envision him as a center in the National Hockey League, he's gonna have to get some experience there sooner or later. So I'll take it, and I think we at some point this season, whether it's in November or maybe in March, we see him at center.
All right, there you go. I think that's it.
Boom.
Unless you got one more for me.
I have nothing.
All right, good. I think we have completed. We can fine-tune this a touch, but I liked our
It's
first
a new
edition.
Segment. We're going to need we need a lot. We need a theme song for the podcast.
Don't worry.
Or
well,
not a theme song.
Well, no, we need a theme song for the podcast. Don't worry about this. I'll have
we
this
need a stinger,
care.
Yeah.
This will be fine. All right? So trust me. That will conclude the first ever edition of If You Like It, Take It. If Not,
send it right back.
He's Michael Smith. That'll conclude this edition of the Canes Cast, episode 16, Bill Burniston edition. Getting your workout in. Feel the burn.
Feel the burn. That's the episode title. We found it.
Yep.
We found it. It took us, however many minutes it's been, but we found it.
Yeah, that's what we do. He's Michael Smith, web reporter, all-around great human being and burger connoisseur.
TV's Mike Maniscalco. He eats burgers aggressively.
Yes, I do. That'll do it for us. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Proud Noise Only.